Good morning.
Good morning.
We're blessed to have a special speaker this morning who's going to speak to us at the beginning of the service. Charlotte Holland is the volunteer director for the mission. And if you would please, if we could give her a round of applause.
Well, thank you. I wasn't expecting any applause. Good morning. Details, your name is Charlotte Holland. I am currently the administrator at the Lampasas Mission. Before coming to the mission, I worked for the school district for about 21 years. My husband Michael and I have three children and 9 grandkids, and Nathan has asked me to speak to you about the mission. A little bit of background. 2002, a woman named Rebecca Downey, some of you may know her, I have not had the privilege, saw a need in Lampasas as churches were struggling individually to serve the disadvantaged population of our town. After much prayer, concern, and work with God's help, in 2003, the Lampasas Mission was recognized under Section 501(c)(3) of the Internal Revenue Code in Texas Nonprofit Corporation Charitable Organizations. In 2004, the original Lampasas Mission was opened in a small house on the corner of 5th and Western. I'm sure some of you will remember that. By 2007, it became clear that the mission needed a larger facility. In 2008, more than $100,000 was raised to purchase and renovate the building on 4th Street that currently houses the Lampasas Mission. These early building blocks have formed the functional organization that exists today. When I took the position, people would tell me, oh, what have you done to change and all that? But it runs so smoothly that there's really has not been much reason for me to change anything so far. Things that you may not know. The mission is open Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. The eligibility for families to come is determined by their income. Each family can come for assistance twice a month. On Mondays at 5, we have either a church service or a Bible study. We serve approximately 300 families a month and about 1,100 individuals. Some of the clients that we serve are the elderly that are struggling to survive on Social Security. Individuals who have lost their jobs and have not yet found a replacement. I've noticed in the past couple of months, we've had a number of people that have come in that are like in their mid-50s and have lost their job. You know, maybe they hurt their back or something, you know, or the business just went out of business. And the people of that age are not able to find another position. Individuals or families facing major illnesses causing huge medical expenses. Persons with disabilities making them unemployable, single parents and the working poor, families who have faced disasters such as fire or storm damages, such as Hurricane Harvey. When it hit, we had several families that came to us from the coast for help. And some of our people are just individuals who are facing just a one-time monthly shortfall for whatever reason. Our volunteer base is from local churches. I know there's a number of you in here that have volunteered. Students, Lions Club, staff from the Rawlingsbrook Hospital and from Lampasas Nursing and Rehab, as well as people that just walk in and want to help us. We have an average of 20 to 25 volunteers per month. Also, no one at the mission gets paid. Everyone is a volunteer. We provide referrals to counseling, medical help, financial services, and free or greatly reduced dental services are donated to our clients by Dr. Level and Dr. Elder. Another resource that we have is the Austin Pregnancy Resource Center has a bus that they bring out to the mission, and they try to help where they are needed. The Lions Club helps with classes, and the Salvation Army has just recently placed a representative at the mission one day a week to assist our clients whenever they can. Our funds come from several different sources. We have churches that donate on a monthly basis, individual donations, business donations. We get small grants. We do fundraising, like some of you have probably been to the beans and cornbread dinner that we have in the fall. And we have an annual golf tournament, which is coming up on March 24th. So that'll be a big fundraiser, hopefully. Food donations come from the community, from churches, individuals, and organizations. We also get generous donations from Walmart, HEB, and Pizza Hut. We buy wholesale from Central Texas Food Bank, and we purchase some items retail. Clothing and small household items come to us in abundance from the community. And I mean abundance. Sometimes we have bags and bags and bags of stuff there. The Lampasas Mission continues to be blessed each day goes by. After Hurricane Harvey hit the Texas coast last year, resources were stretched pretty thin as folks and food banks all over the state were trying to help the victims of the hurricane. But the generous individuals of Lampasas County somehow managed to do both and help us keep the mission going on a business as usual basis. I was totally overwhelmed at the influx of the food that poured in from churches, the Boy Scouts, First Texas Bank, Klein Wattis Elementary School, Paceline, and many individuals, which equaled over 8,300 pounds. For our Thanksgiving dinner giveaway, which was a great success. We gave away around 210 meals, I think it was. And then we had leftover food to stock our shelves. Just this past week, almost 1,900 pounds of food came from Hannah Springs Elementary School, which all the kids there donated, and thank you parents for helping those kids donate that. I haven't been in this position long enough to have formulated many goals. However, there's one thing that I do see a real need for, and that is for some sort of temporary shelter for the homeless of our city during bad weather. We had several people last week that were homeless and, you know, came by to get as many provisions as they could, and blankets and bedrolls and that kind of thing. And it's just, it is totally heartbreaking. You just hate to even let them go out the door when you know that they're gonna be spending the night outside when it's 10 degrees. I am also investigating avenues for grants to aid us to continue with the success that we've had in the food pantry. And possibly some expansion for the future. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I understand you have counselors who
yes, ma'am.
To talk to the clients before they receive their food. Are there guidelines about what can and cannot be said? Is Christ allowed in the mission work? I mean, how much can we share our faith with people who are coming for food? Are there guidelines to that effect?
I think that's, from what I have seen, that's on an individual basis. You do what you feel comfortable with. I have personally prayed with people. I'm not one of the counselors, and I'm not really trying to do that kind of thing. I do love people. And I do want to share my faith with people if I have that opportunity. So I don't think there are any restrictions. The thing is, like on Mondays when we open at 5 for church, people come in that don't sit in the room where they're having church. They just sit on the benches in the foyer, and that's fine. It's just, you know, whatever they want to do. We don't push it on them. We don't make them go to church in order to get the food. We don't make them pray with us in order to get the food or clothing or whatever. It's just, I think it's an individual thing as to how the counselors handle that. I know that a lot of them do pray with people. Anything else? Yes, sir?
Do you all coordinate with St. Mary's and what they do with their St. Vincent de Paul?
No, we don't. In fact,
they've been doing that for years. My father-in-law and I used to take bread from HEB to the mission, but also to St. Mary's.
Uh-huh, yes. I know they do have the food bank down there. I have not visited that yet. That is one thing that's on my list of things to do. But we do refer people, because sometimes people that are, you know, have 8-10 people in their family, they can only come to see us twice a month, you know, so we refer them, and they're open on different days than we are too.
Can I add one thing? Carolyn Reed has told me that there have been times when the missions had too much food and they've given it to St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. So there have been times when the mission has helped them out. We're all in this together.
That's yes. Right. And we work with a small food bank in Briggs and a food, the senior center over in Lameda cooks meals for seniors. We work with them, and they are currently in the process of opening a food pantry also. So we have been able to help them. And in the last couple of months, we have had an abundance of meat, which is a wonderful problem to have. And so we have given extra stuff to Lameda and Briggs. And to our people that are coming in for help.
We used to share with the senior center also. We had an overflow.
Yes, we do. We do that. Uh-huh.
Where do you get the abundance of meat and stuff from? HEB?
HEB gives us meat. Walmart gives us meat. And then there's an organization called Hunters for the Hungry. And they take mostly deer, but sometimes wild boar, and they take it to
a processor,
thank you. And it has to be a licensed processor that they take it to, and then the processor calls us, we go pick it up. And so that's been a big, big blessing. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
You might tell them what they need to do if they would like to volunteer, the people that have not helped us down there yet, that might like to come down and help. What would be the steps that they need to take?
Well, as I said, we're open Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Monday from 6 to 8, and Tuesday and Thursday from 1 to 3. And normally there's somebody there about an hour, at least an hour before that. But if you want to volunteer, come and fill out an application, and we will put you to work, that's for sure. And there's lots of different jobs, so you can kind of choose what you are most comfortable in doing. Anything else?
Well, they also have a clothes closet.
Yes.
And a lot of people in this community have benefited from having that there.
Yes. Yes, I talked to a lady the other day at the store, and she was thanking me for the mission being there. She has twin boys that are 14, and she's very, very poor, and she was thanking me for the ability for her to be able to clothe her.
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Please remain standing. William is going to be reading. Our scripture readings today from Matthew chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, Psalm 105, verse 1, and they are in your bulletin.
Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that I may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Then from Psalms, give praise to the Lord and proclaim his name. Make known among the nations that he what he has done.
Please be seated. Thank you.
Having a lot of fun having Alan home. We get to do some songs that I don't usually do by myself because I need somebody to sing the other parts, and so it's been a lot of fun. And of course, anytime we're up here singing, if you know it and you want to sing along, you're not hurting our feelings at all.
There you go.
You need it where you can see it?
I just need your hand right there.
Oh, okay. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside your garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Good morning.
Good morning.
The next 4 weeks I'll be looking at evangelism, witnessing, sharing the faith, fishing, whatever you wish to refer to it as. And then we'll be looking at our Advent series on the Ten Commandments. And everyone will be invited to our Ash Wednesday service as well. We normally remember Billy Graham's evangelism during his 60 years of ministry. However, there are also some funny stories along the way, one of which is recounted in his biography. When one of Billy Graham's uncles died, he was about to begin a crusade in Kansas. To make the funeral in time, he and George Beverly Shea boarded a small plane headed for Oklahoma and flown by a student pilot. Mr. Graham wrote, "We soon flew into a rainstorm. To cover my anxiety, I talked to the pilot again. What do you do for a living? I asked him. I lay carpet. He lays carpet, repeated Bev with another dutiful nod. The worse the storm became, the more I talked. By the way, how long have you been flying? Well, I've been working at it off and on for 6 months, he said proudly. I suppose you have a pilot's license. Oh, yes, sir, I have my pilot's license, he assured me. And you have your license to carry passengers? Well, no, sir, I don't have that yet, he answered. Don't have that yet, repeated Bev, nodded in my direction. Have you ever flown the plane before? I asked, suspecting the answer. Not this plane, he said. Not this plane, repeated Bev, this time shaking his head. Bev and I would have jumped if only we had found the chutes. Billy liked to tell the story of a pastor who said in a sermon, apart from Christ, there's never been a perfect man. Someone in the audience stood up and said, yes, there is, my wife's first husband. Throughout the Old Testament, God sets himself above all other gods. Other gods are just mute and deaf idols made by human hands. He creates a nation with the intent for its people to make his name known, to make his name great among the nations. These great works culminate in the reconciliation of the cross, the sharing of God's life, and the defeat of death, sin, hell, and Satan in the resurrection. I can imagine no greater motivation than to make his name known. Saying that we are lights to the world is a distinctive title which our Lord applies to himself. In John chapter 8, verse 12, 9, verse 5, and throughout the Gospel of John. A title expressly said to be unsuitable even to the highest of all the prophets. It must be applied here by our Lord to his disciples only as they shine with his light upon the world and in virtue of his spirit dwelling in them and the same mind being in them that had also been in Christ. Jesus said that it was good that he could go away so that another, a wonderful counselor, would be with them. When Jesus was here, he was one man, fully God. But when he left, the Holy Spirit of God would be in every single believer. Jesus gives the Christian both a great compliment and a great responsibility when he says that we are the light of the world. Because he claimed that title for himself. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to his people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We are the moon to his sun. Apart from the sun, we would barely even see the moon. But we only see the moon because of its reflection of the glorious light of the sun. And that's what we are, his hands, his feet, his tools, his ambassadors. Light of the world means that we are not only light receivers, we're also light givers. And when we were living in Florida, no meal was complete without a trainload of salt. And when I'm watching those shows on the Cooking Channel and the Food Network, they always add a pinch of salt, a pinch of pepper. But if the salt stays in the shaker, it doesn't do anybody any good. Imagine how bland that chicken fried steak would be without it. How bland those potatoes would be without it. And before refrigeration, meat would stay cured, meat would stay edible because salt kept it from deteriorating. Salt kept it from things growing on it. Salt was life-giving. Those pirates, those sailors would usually have a big jar, a big barrel of some kind of salted meat, often pork. The title had also been given by the Jews to certain eminent rabbis. Can you imagine how surprised the Pharisees were and the Sadducees, who were Sadducees, when they saw that fishermen were going by a title usually reserved for the highest rabbis? In Christ, we can do all things. Not because of ourselves, not because of any goodness we have or abilities we have, but because we are in Christ. And James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Isn't it wonderful that even though everything around us changes, people change, cities change. I mean, I almost don't even recognize Bryan College Station anymore when I go back home. That car that used to be so pristine, you know, it's hard to get the engine going. I had the Subaru Legacy, which did great for me, all-wheel drive. But then the bottom started rusting. The catalytic converter started going out. The oil decided, well, I need to add a liter about every week. Things change. But isn't it amazing that God does not change? No matter who the president is, no matter who's in Congress, no matter who the governor is, no matter who the judge is, God is still on the throne. Jesus never challenged us to become salt or light. He simply said that we are. We're either fulfilling a responsibility or we're not. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Judea, in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So it's done in the power and work of God. You shall be my witnesses wherever you go. And we don't have to go and shake people on the street and yell at them. Simply as we go, when we have opportunities, when we have prayed for God to open doors for us, we show the love of Christ and we share the message of Christ. And we also show that all people of all nations are valuable to the Father. There's no room for racism, there's no room for sexism, there's no room for classism in the kingdom of God. We're all one body, one spirit. The purpose of light is to illuminate and expose what is there. Therefore, light must be exposed to be of any use. If it's hidden under a basket, it's no longer useful. In other words, we can't just have a light to ourselves. I like to play the Xbox. And, you know, every once in a while I'll play a video game. But if I can't find the batteries to that thing, it doesn't matter what games I have. It doesn't matter what technology I have. If I don't have some power, it doesn't matter. If those batteries are to stay locked up, I'm getting nowhere. It doesn't matter if you have a Corvette or a Lamborghini. If you don't put some gas in, nothing's going to happen. We have to take that first step. The salt must leave the salt shaker. There are no secret agent Christians. God did not design us to just go around in these cloaks and just whisper, hey, are you a Christian? You are? Oh, I'm one too. No, he wants us to expose it to the world. During the Cold War, both Americans and Soviets employed spies. The CIA and the KGB would train people and send them all over to the world to discover state secrets, military plans, and new technologies. If you've ever seen a James Bond movie, please realize that he would have been a terrible spy. Think about this for a moment, okay? He told people his real name, lived a life of luxury, dressed impeccably, ordered the same drink every time, and tried to seduce every woman he encountered. They would have seen him coming a mile away, and he would have been a spy for exactly 10 minutes of the first movie. You're James Bond? Oh, we've heard you're a spy. We're just going to lock you up. And in the real world, they don't put someone surrounded by sharks and then leave so they can escape. You know, a real spy is unassuming, hidden, and normal in appearance. A spy has to fit in any situation. So, Jackson, you're nodding your head. You know, a spy couldn't be like the Hulk. You know when the Hulk's on your block. Christopher Boyce grew up in Palos Verdes, California, the son of an FBI agent. He began working at an aerospace company, TRW, in 1974, and despite his limited experience and young age, being 21, was given access to the Black Vault. You know, it's a spy thing when they have a fancy name for it. It's not the vault. It's not where we keep the data. It's the Black Vault, which contains secret U.S. defense information. A party animal, Boyce by chance reunited with a childhood friend and cocaine trafficker. That's the number one piece of advice. If you go get a job, please don't get a job with your best friend, the cocaine trafficker. Just that's free advice for everybody. Andrew Dalton Lee, one day after a coke binge, the two devised a plan to sell the information in the Black Vault to the Russians. Nicknamed Falcon and the Snowman, Boyce and Lee carried out their plan, selling U.S. satellite technology info to Russian officials. They made serious money, which Lee primarily used to aid his drug business. The operation came to a halt when Lee was arrested in Mexico City in 1976. Somewhat ironically, Lee was mistakenly arrested. The police thought that he was a cop killer. They quickly realized they had accidentally arrested a spy. He had CIA films in his possession and was caught outside the Soviet embassy. But they tortured Lee anyways to get him to confess to cop killing. Which, weren't they past this accusation at this point? Anyway, Lee confessed to being a spy and was handed over to U.S. officials. He then added Boyce as his co-conspirator. If you learn anything from this, please don't trust people who distribute coke in your business dealings. Boyce was arrested in 1977 and was sentenced to 40 years for espionage. He escaped in 1980 from Lompoc Correctional, only to be recaptured by U.S. Marshals. Jesus is saying we're to be the opposite of secret agent Christians. We live to be ambassadors to make his name known. We're to shine the brightest light. If no one knows that you are a Christian, then there's a good chance you aren't one. The fundamental nature of a Christ follower is to share Jesus. How do you know an apple tree is an apple tree? Yes. How do you know someone's a Christian? They act like it. We're either spies or we're ambassadors. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. F.F. Bruce, the New Testament scholar, shared the following. We knew that there would be strong temptation for the men that had it in them to be lights, to hide their light. It would draw the world's attention to them, and so expose them to the ill will of such that hate the light. Spurgeon, known as the greatest preacher of the 19th century, Spurgeon said it this way. Christ never contemplated the production of secret Christians. Christians whose virtues would never be displayed. Pilgrims who would travel to heaven by night and never be seen by their fellow travelers or anyone else. The symbols of salt and light also remind us that the life marked by the Beatitudes is not to be lived in isolation. No Lone Ranger Christians. We often assume that those inner qualities can only be developed or displayed in isolation from the world. But Jesus calls us to live them out and to love the world. The two greatest commandments, to love God and to love others. That can only be done in community. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. If anybody's ever driven to Lubbock on I-20 at night, you see Lubbock about 3 hours before you get there. I was pretty excited when I saw Lubbock. I was like, hey, I'm going to get there pretty soon. And then an hour passed. Another hour passed. And finally, I was there in Lubbock. What does it mean for us to increase God's renown and to be lights to the world? How do these passages apply to us? Pastor Rick Warren had this to say about it. Our focus must always be on the light, humbly trusting Jesus to reveal the light through us. Our life is a matter of trusting in our Savior and Lord. We are ambassadors. We represent Him. Our focus is vital. The most famous ship of all time is possibly the Titanic, also one of the top grossing movies of all time. The supposedly unsinkable ship that went down on its maiden voyage. Many movies have been made and many books about the fateful journey. Few will include the story of Scottish evangelist John Harper. Harper was a passenger on the Titanic. In 1912, Harper was traveling to Chicago to take up his appointment as pastor of Moody Bible Church. He had his daughter Nana on board with him. His wife had died a few years earlier. When the Titanic struck the iceberg and began to sink, he put Nana into the lifeboat and ran throughout the ship yelling, "Women, children, and unsaved into the lifeboats." When the ship finally went down, he had already given his life jacket to another passenger. Survivors report that to the very end, Harper was witnessing to anyone who would listen. One survivor recalls clinging to one of the ships when Harper floated near him. "Man, are you saved?" cried Harper. "No, I'm not," replied the man. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved," pleaded Harper. The waves carried Harper away and then brought him back a little later. "Are you now?" says Harper. "No, I cannot honestly say that I am," said the man. Again, Harper pleaded with him. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Shortly afterward, Harper went down. The man who survived was one of only six people rescued. But in a public meeting 4 years later, recounting this episode, he said, "There alone in the night, and with 2 miles of water under me, I believed I am John Harper's last convert." Our influence and visibility is a result of who lives in us. We are not the light, we can only reflect it. Jimmy Carter is a former president of the United States. He's also a Christian. Every year at his home church, at Plains Baptist Church, would have a week of mission in which the congregation would go out into the community, inviting unchurched people to the church, his revival meeting. Once Carter was asked to speak at another church in Georgia on the topic of Christian witnessing. In his preparation, he decided that he would share about his involvement in his home church's mission week. He began to note that in 14 years he had managed to visit over 140 homes in the local community. Carter felt quite proud of his achievement until he compared his witness for Christ with his witness for political office. He realized that in his 1966 campaign for governor of Georgia, he had gone out and met at least 300,000 people in an attempt to convince them to vote for him. The comparison struck me. 300,000 visits for myself and 140 visits for God in 14 years. What a convicting statement. Do I put forth excellence in my work for God? Do we spend most of our energy in our own pursuits or in the pursuits of our Savior? Catherine of Siena had this to say. Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. Martin Luther King Jr., no work is insignificant. All labor that uplifts humanity has dignity and importance, and should be undertaken with painstaking evidence and excellence. The Lord has called us to live a life of excellence in sharing the love of Jesus with the world. We have a cure for the most terrible disease in history. Sin and death have one cure. Love and truth have been made perfect in one man. The Lord has graciously given us His Spirit and has blessed us to be a blessing to others. Please join me in praying for how we can more effectively glorify the Lord in our church and in our lives. Dear Lord, may you open our eyes to those opportunities that we have to share your love with those around us. May people know by our words and by our deeds, by our actions, that we are your followers. Lord, allow us to focus on what is truly important in our lives, to confess what we need to confess, and to cling to you no matter what happens to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd, that you are our protector, that you are the rock of our salvation. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. And now I'm going to lead us in a benediction, Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.